I love Brother Gary, and I love your country, and thank you for allowing us to come. Thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to preach. I went to Crown College thinking I was going to study pastoral ministry, and the Lord dealt with my heart, and I surrendered my life. I was always scared to go to the mission field because I thought God would send me somewhere where nobody spoke English and where I was, all by myself. And when I went on my first mission trip to Africa, I realized that God is much bigger than that, and that these places aren't scary so long as God goes with you. And we've traveled quite a bit, my wife and I, to different places. We've never been till now to Australia. The only continent we have left to see is South America. And we have six children, and we want all of our children to see God's work. And so our oldest son, we went with him a year and a half ago to Spain and Italy and visited missionaries and saw the work in that area. And there's a great work going, a great need. And there's a great need in Australia. And I'm not going to try to wow you with my skills of Australian lingo because I would fail tonight. But I've been learning, and I appreciate Brother Gary helping me out. We've got to pet some kangaroos and see some whales and dolphins and some amazing things. You have a beautiful country, and it's been great so far. But yesterday, as we were visiting and saw the people that didn't even know they needed the Lord, and it broke my heart, and I'm praying. I would love for any of my children to serve the Lord here or wherever God would have them, and following the Lord's the most important thing. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter number 8 this evening. I hope you know Nehemiah. God used Nehemiah in a mighty way. Now, most people know something about what he did. Can anybody tell me what the significance of the book of Nehemiah is? He built the wall. That's right. But that happened before chapter 8. So most people don't know much about the rest of the book. We've been studying through this book in our church this year. We've not been in it the whole year. But it's been a great, encouraging book. I believe it's a book about these three things, about rebuilding and reviving and restoring. And God is doing those things for His people in this book. I believe that God can still do those things. And we're going to look in Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse number 13. And just to give you a little sense of where we're at, chapter 8 begins just after the wall is completed, about a week later. And you would think, well, they've done all that they came to do, but I'm thankful that there was still something left to do. And a group of people came together, and it wasn't the preachers, and it wasn't the priests, and it wasn't Nehemiah, but it was all the people that came together in verse 1. On the first day of this month, the seventh month, which is significant, and they said, we need to get to God's word, and we need to find out what God would have us to do. And so they continued beyond just the work, the physical work. They saw God do a spiritual work in the first part of this chapter. And day number one of the seventh month is the Jewish New Year. So it was a very significant day. And they celebrated that day with feasting and praising the Lord. But we're going to come this evening to the second day. I'm thankful for the second day. I'm thankful that it's not just about a feast or observing certain rituals or doing certain things. I'm thankful God can continue to do a work. And I'm praying for my own church and my own heart, my own family, for this place. And I'm praying that God would continue to do some things. And tonight I want to speak on one word. It's the word again. Let's read the passage tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8 in verse number 13. The Bible says, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the company made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the matter. Lots of things going on in the seventh month. And if you'll do your study, you'll know that not only is the Feast of the Trumpets that begins that week, that month, the very first day of the Jewish New Year, but they have the Day of Atonement, which is a very significant day on the 10th day of the month. And then we find here talked about the Feast of Tabernacles. And all these things are very significant to the Jewish people. And so they're coming again on the second day. And they're doing again some things that need to be done in order to get things right, in order to get things ready, because God's not through with His people. And if you'll just look briefly at the book of Nehemiah, you'll find that there's 13 chapters. So there's still a lot to be done in God's work. And I'm thankful that even though we may accomplish some things and do some things of great importance and things that God would have us to do, I'm sure thankful that God isn't finished until Jesus comes. There's always a work to be done. The same isn't always a bad thing. Now, if we're doing the same things that aren't good, obviously that's not a good thing. But we find them doing some of the same things that they did on the first day, but they're good things, and they're things that need to be done again. I think we need to repeat some things that we're doing and come back and do again. And if we do those things, God will help us. And there's a great progression in this chapter that I want us to see this evening. Revival is something, I believe, that we need again. The Bible says in Psalm 85, verse number 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And that's really what I believe we're seeing at the end of chapter 8, is God reviving His people. They're coming back. They're not satisfied. They've not made it yet. There's still more to do. They want to see God do something again. And so they're coming again to do many of these things that I believe we need as well. I'm thankful for everything we accomplish for God. And we're working on some things and we're trying some things, but we need to do some things again. And let's look at this passage this evening for just a moment and see what they did again. Look again at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And on the second day were gathered together." What did they do again? They gathered again. Well, they just gathered the previous day. Why'd they need to gather again? This was not a special day. This was not a holy day. It was not a feast day. It was not a fast day. But they wanted to gather again. I'm thankful for the gathering of God's people. I'm thankful that, you know, even though it's Saturday night in America where I'm from, they're not yet meeting, but Lord willing, about midnight tonight here, our folks will be meeting together for Sunday school. And they'll meet again for morning service. And they'll meet again on Sunday evening for evening service. We can watch that tomorrow morning if we like. And they'll meet again, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. We have a Tuesday evening Bible study that we started about a year and a half ago. And so we love meeting together. And I hope you never get tired of the meeting together with God's people. It's a good thing to be together with God's people. These folks had finished the work. They'd finished the wall, and they gathered together on the first day. And the people said, "We need to gather together. We need to do this." And on the second day, they're gathering again. Thank God for the gathering of His people. I wonder, has God ever spoken to your heart in a meeting? Have you ever seen something from the Word of God as you're gathering together with God's people? You see, the gathering of God's people is not just for fellowship. I'm thankful for fellowship. I appreciate fellowship. I enjoy fellowship. But when we come to the house of God, we come to hear the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we meet together, we're giving God an opportunity to speak to our hearts. That's what we need. The Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. The world would say, you don't need more church, you need more of these other things. But God says, no, you need more gathering together of God's people. We don't need less of God, we need more of God. We need more of the time that we spend together with the Lord in His Word and with His people. That's how we get stronger. Even so, as the Lord is coming, we need more gathering together. The people understood the need to gather together, and they gathered again. They made the gathering of His people a priority, even when it wasn't a special day. I wonder what would happen if God's people, now we wouldn't all necessarily have to meet together every day, but if there was something going on every day, we were meeting together with some Christians, encouraging one another, lifting up one another, praying for one another, reading the Bible together, whatever we could do, if sometime every day we had that connection with God's people, I wonder how much more we could do for the Lord. They were gathering again. Look at verse number 13 again. With me. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. What were they doing? They were reading again. I love this. You know what? Tomorrow, you still need the Bible. It's wonderful on Sunday. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, maybe even meditating on it. You know what? You can read the Bible outside of church, and you all know that. But what do we need tomorrow? We need to read again. What do we need the next day? We need to read again. And it's not enough just to get the Bible when we come to church and gather together with God's people. We need God's Word every single day. When you read the first part of chapter 8, you know what they did? They read the Bible. You know how long they read the Bible? 6 hours. They were there. Now, they weren't all reading, but they were listening. And Ezra stood up on a pulpit of wood, and the Levites were gathered together on each side of this platform of wood, and he would talk about the law, and he would read through the books of the law. You know, if you started at Genesis 1 and you read through the end of Deuteronomy, it would take quite a while to do that. Well, they read on that first day for 6 hours, and some of us not very spiritual people would say, well, surely we got enough of God's Word yesterday. That'll do for a little while. No, God's people said, we're going to gather together again, and we're going to read again, because we're not done. God's not done speaking to us. There's something more in God's Word. I'm thankful for every time I get to read the Bible. I've read through the Bible many times in many different ways, and I love changing it up a little bit and doing things a little bit differently. But I need to get into the Word of God every day, not just so I can preach a message, but so that God can speak to my heart. They got into the Word of God again. Will you do it tomorrow? Will you not just take your Bible tonight and put it on a place where you can find it on Wednesday to come to church, or on next Sunday when you come to church? Will you get it to a place where when you wake up in the morning, you've got a place to go? And by the way, if you don't have a place to go, I'm sure your pastor could guide you to a place where you could be reading every single day, finding something in the Word of God. And maybe you don't do it on a regular basis. Start somewhere. You know, if you read one chapter a day, you can read the entire New Testament in a whole year. Maybe you're already reading a chapter. Why not add another? I don't personally believe you can get too much of the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that we're to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We're to get as much of God's Word in us as we possibly can. And we can do that through reading and through studying and through memorizing and through meditating and observing what God has said in His Word. You know what we need? We need to read again. You know what America needs? They need to read it again. You know what Australia needs? They need to read it again. They gathered again. They read again. Look at verse number 14. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine trees and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees, and to make booths as it is written. You know what they did when they read again? They found again. You know why we don't know what God would have us to do? It's because we've not gotten into the Word of God like we should have. You know, we've forgotten the things that we should know, and maybe we read it when we were children, and maybe we heard it when we were younger, and maybe we made a commitment when we were teenagers, and maybe we did something else many years ago, but if we'll get into the Word of God again, we'll find it again. We'll find what is written, and we'll find what we've forgotten, and we'll find what we've neglected, and we'll find what we need to be doing that we've not been doing when we get into the Word of God again, and that happens when we gather again. You see, it's a cycle. It's a progression. They gathered again, they read again, and when they read again, they found it again. You know, as I was thinking about this, there's another portion of Scripture that deals with something lost that was found. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Hilkiah the priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Maybe you've lost your Bible. You need to find it again. Maybe you know exactly where your Bible is, but you've forgotten some things that you committed to God, or you've neglected some areas. They had not been observing the feast of tabernacles, the feast of booths. They had not been doing as they should be doing, and the only way they knew that was when they read the book of the Lord again. And they found it again. You know, we've got something we need to be doing. We're not following the Word of God like we ought to be following the Word of God. We're not doing everything that we ought to be doing. And we found this in God's Word. And now we need to change something about what we're doing so we can be obedient to the Lord. This is revival. This is God doing a work in His people because they made a decision that started it all. They decided, you know, we're going to be with God's people again. We're not through with this. This is not enough for us. We heard it yesterday for 6 hours, and we heard some things that spoke to our hearts and convicted us and made us think about what God had done. And we worshiped God and we're glad yesterday, but we came back again to hear it again, to find it again. Look at verse number 16. They heard all these things, and what happened? So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one on the roof of his house and in their courts, in the courts of the house of God, in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. You know, they had to do some preparation. They had to prepare again. In order to be obedient like they should, when they heard what God's Word said, when they found what God expected of them and what God required of them. It took some work to get these booths ready. We're talking about day 2, and they're not going to need to do this till day 14. They couldn't wait till the night of the 13th to say, you know what, we haven't got our booths ready yet. Had to go to the mountain. The Mount of Olives, most likely, from what we read in the Scripture. And to find these branches, they had to cut them down, they had to haul them, they had to bring them to their houses, they had to get that ready, because on the 14th day of the month, they were to live in those booths until the end of that 7-day period, and on the 8th day, it's still in that solemn assembly. In order for them to be obedient, they had to prepare. They had to get ready for it. The day was coming, the feast was coming, they found out about it, and in order for them to be obedient to God, they had to make preparation. I wonder, what do we need to prepare for that God wants us to do? What preparations do we need to make so that we're ready when God says, let's do this? When God gives the green light, when God has shown us what He wants us to do, what preparations do we need to make? They had to prepare. There's some physical preparations. I believe there's spiritual preparations. There's mental preparations. There's things we might have to put away in order to serve the Lord like we ought to. There's things we might need to add to our lives so that we can serve the Lord the way that we ought to. But there's preparation that must be made. When we read in the Bible, I'm so thankful God speaks to us. And when God speaks to us, we've got to decide, if I'm going to be obedient to God, I'm going to have to change some things in my life. And I'm thankful that's not all on us. We can ask God, Lord, I need Your help to do this, to get ready, to prepare to serve You. And if God wants you to serve, I believe there is preparation that's needed. I'm thankful for the place that I went to train to serve the Lord. I'm thankful for what I learned there, how I prepared there. You know, I'm still preparing. I'm still learning. I'm still striving to figure out exactly what the Lord would have me to do and the direction He'd have me to go in certain things. I'm praying about a lot of things. I'm preparing because I want to serve the Lord, because I want to be faithful to God, because I want to please Him with my life. That was the attitude of God's people. We're gathering again. We're going to read again. We found it again. This is what God wants us to do, so we must prepare again. Let's look again in verse number 17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the day of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. They obeyed again. Joshua, we know Joshua the son of Nun. He was the one who led the children of Israel into the land. They conquered the land. They were victorious over their enemies. They divided the land into the different tribes where they would live and the places where they would go. And he said that Joshua had done so. Joshua had observed this feast. But something had lacked between now and then. That's a long time. They'd had all the time of judges. They'd had all the times of the kings. They'd gone into captivity and now we're come back and they just now realize we have forgotten something important that God had given us to do and we've prepared for it. Let's do it. They obeyed again like they hadn't obeyed since Joshua's day. Isn't that amazing? Maybe there's some things we've left off over the years. I don't mean just as a church. I mean as a nation. Our nation, the United States, was founded on godly principles by people who believed in the right of God's people to worship God as they please. You see it in so many of our founding documents. You see it in the Bill of Rights and the things that are guaranteed us by our Constitution to meet peaceably and to assemble lawfully. What kind of assembly do you think they were talking about? I think they're talking about the church assembly. In America, we've forgotten that. Many of us have gotten away from those things. The freedoms that we enjoy, we've taken for granted. I'm praying they continue for my children's sake and my grandchildren's sake. And if not, I'm praying we faithfully meet together anyway and serve the Lord as we ought to anyway, because God is worthy of it, whether it's legal or not. It all started because they gathered again. They read again. When they read again, they found it, what they'd been missing. They prepared to do what God had given them to do, and they did it. And notice the result of it. Verse number 17, the very last phrase, and there was very great gladness. You know what's going to make you happy? Doing the will of God. Being together with God's people, reading God's Word and understanding it, finding the areas in your life where you've not quite got it yet, and God's working on you and yielding to the Lord and preparing to be obedient and doing what God has given you to do, then and only then you will truly be happy again. God's people got happy because they gathered again and read again. And found it again, and prepared again, and obeyed again. God's people ought to be happy. Seriously, people ought to walk by us and think, I wonder why on a Monday morning that person's got a smile on their face. And it shouldn't just be put on. It should be just because we're happy in Jesus. That before we've met this outside world, we've spent some time in God's Word again. And if you live with a Christian spouse or Christian children, if no one else, you ought to gather together with them every day and get into God's Word and pray to the Lord and thank Him for the day. And maybe you'll find something in God's Word that morning before you meet this world that'll get you happy in Jesus. That'll remind you how good God's been. God's so good. We had a pair of young ladies that came to our church and they were a blessing. They were college students and they were just with us for a time. We got to go to their graduation. It was a blessing. They went to a Christian college about an hour away from us. And they gave me a little journal as just a thank you. And I was blown away, thankful for them. But in that journal I've started, as I'm reading through my Bible, I write down things that I see in the Scriptures that I'm either praying for or thanking God for. And I'm not perfect at it. I don't get it every day like I should, but it has been a blessing because then I can go back and read. You know, in Psalm, this, that, or the other, or in 1 Samuel is where, and I write the reference to where God speaks to me about so I can turn back to it and I can see it again. I can be reminded of how good God's been. We've been looking at Psalm 90 in our church, and I preached this morning out of Psalm 90, and just to know that God is the Lord, that thou art God, is so powerful. God's so good. We ought to rejoice. We ought to be happy. The world ought to see there's something different about us. Not that we're crazy, although we might be, but that we know the love of God, and He's made a difference in our life, and we want to serve Him, and we want them to know the Lord that we know. There's people all over, all around us, that need to see happy Christians that know the Lord and are faithfully striving to meet together with God's people and read His Word and be ready to do whatever God would have them to do. You know, I believe God can use every Christian person. I'm excited to hear about this potential for a church plant. That's exciting. God could use you there. God could use you here. There's things that need to be done in our area where I live. More ministries to reach the people of our community and beyond. God can use anyone, old or young. It doesn't matter. If you're one of God's children, He can use you. Get involved. It's exciting to pass out gospel tracts and to talk to people because you never know what that gospel tract might do. You never know who's ready to receive it. Or we might take it later and open it up and read it and realize their need of a Savior. And you may never know all of the results of it till you get to heaven, but it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. Let's do it again. Pray that God will help us do it again. And just consistently every day, seeking God's people, seeking God's Word, finding what God has for us, preparing to do it and get it done, and be the happy Christians that God would have us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the truth of it. Thank You that we can apply even these things that were done so many years ago to us tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be the Christians that the world needs us to be, the Christians that You saved us to be, that we would be used by You to make a difference in this world. Help us to realize how much we need to be together with Your people, how much we need to read Your Word. How much we need to see what You've said so we can prepare to do, and how much we need to obey it. Help us to follow these examples that we find in Your Word, we pray in Jesus' name.